Wonderful.
So here we are in the age of COVID, and now flu season's coming up. What kind of problems can this bring? Because we've got essentially one pandemic going on, and now another thing is coming up. Are we looking at a lot of trouble here for this next flu season with COVID going on?
Ken, I think in so many ways we're going into uncharted territory. And what that means is that we're not only in the midst of a pandemic, but also we're in the midst of a situation where we're having a resurgence ahead of a flu season. So many of the states are seeing increases in case counts from COVID, and that's both unfortunate and troubling. But at the same time, we also know that the flu virus comes around each time during fall and winter and wreaks havoc on Americans. We have hundreds of thousands of hospitalizations, tens of thousands of deaths that happen each year from the flu. The challenge of having these two public health crises and being able to fight the two fronts at the same time is that our major input is at the same place, which is the healthcare system, hospitals, clinics. So if those hospital beds were to get overwhelmed by COVID, then people who are suffering from complications of the flu may not have access to beds. So it's really important, and it's a very unique circumstance that we start to prepare for a challenge in healthcare like never before that will be coming this fall and winter. And we do everything we can in our power to prevent more people from getting sick and more people from dying.
Mm-hmm. What are the coincidences? And I want to, that's a poor word to use it, but what are the things that the flu virus and the COVID virus share in common?
So that's a great question, Kent, because whether it's the flu or the COVID illness, it's very hard to differentiate clinically. So if someone comes in with having high fevers, body aches, being feel like they're run down and hit by a truck, having upper respiratory symptoms, it could quickly go into pneumonia, respiratory failure, end up in ICU on a ventilator. Now, when I describe these symptoms, it just depends what's more prevalent and which one did you get. It's very difficult without the laboratory testing to distinguish between the two. Now, we do know that COVID-19 has been much more deadly in that sense. But make no mistake about it, flu claims tens of thousands of lives as well. Now, the other similarity is the people that it impacts and gets in trouble and kills, they're just about the same group of people, meaning those who have pre-existing conditions such as lung problems, heart problems, diabetes, obesity. These are the same group of people that are high risk for COVID right now that are also traditionally at much higher risk for flu as well. So we're talking about the same group of people, including those older than 65, that bear the brunt of the burden of the disease. So it's very important, especially for those populations, as well as for children when it comes to flu, to make sure that they have the protections they need.
Mm-hmm. It sounds as though if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. I mean, it seems like they're the same, but they're different. It doesn't quite compute in the mind. I mean, if the flu and the COVID have the same symptoms, won't the flu vaccine could it mitigate some of the symptoms of COVID?
So it does not, unfortunately. And the reason for this is that they are very different viruses in nature. So there's a lot of diseases that could cause same or similar. There's almost 200 upper respiratory viruses that are floating around, especially during winters. And they can also cause you the mild cough and cold and head cold, will be called. But that doesn't mean that the symptoms overlap, doesn't mean that the virus is going to be very similar necessarily. In this case, those two viruses, which for flu, they're actually up to four different viruses that cause the flu each year. And it just depends on which is predominant. But we're fortunate that we have usually a very effective and safe vaccine each year that can prevent a great proportionality of those cases. Now, that's not the case with COVID. We know that an effective and safe vaccine may be months away. But however, what we have today in front of us is a flu vaccine that has traditionally been shown to be safe. We understand, to the best of our knowledge, it's been developed this year to modify and add those specific antigenic variations that we think are going to be more prevalent for the flu this year. So here's a situation where, for one, we know exactly what to do, and we have a very effective countermeasures that we just need to take. For the other, we do not have a countermeasure, yet we still know exactly what to do to protect ourselves, which is social distancing, wearing a mask, avoiding crowds, and making sure that you're washing your hands regularly.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we've got the tools that we need. All we have to do is implement them, right? And that means wearing the mask, keeping our distance, washing our hands, all the stuff that mom told us to do, plus getting the flu shot every year. You mentioned about the flu vaccine, and are we confident that we've got the right vaccine for this flu season? Because the vaccine wasn't quite the right one. It didn't quite work.
That's exactly right. That first of all, we would not know the effectiveness of the flu vaccine until after, because we don't know what type of predominance of the virus will be this season. But the fact is that the flu vaccine is plenty available. We also know from a scientific standpoint that when you take the flu shot, you have not just single but dual benefit. One is it lowers your chance by a number of getting the flu if you come in contact with somebody who's sick. That number varies each year, right? So it could be 30%, it could be as high as 80%, but it varies. But there's a second piece that's very important here to know, which is if you've taken the flu shot and if you do fall sick, you happen to be one of those few unfortunate folks who do get the infection, your likelihood of being in hospital and dying is much less than someone who did not take the flu shot. So flu shot is effective both in preventing the disease in the first place, and then if you were unfortunate, if the flu vaccine didn't have a very high effectiveness, it'll still protect you from getting in serious trouble and dying. So there's this double benefit. Now, the good news here is, as opposed to a few years ago, today, it's omnipresent, the flu shot, meaning you can go to your local pharmacy. That's as simple as getting your flu shot. You can go to your doctor's office, your local health department. You can attend one of those drive-in clinics that lots of health departments are holding. So there's a lot of people are having them in their workplace if you are attending work flu shot clinics. So there's plenty of places and there's plenty of supply this season around. And really what I'm saying is there's really no excuse not to get your flu shot.
I'm looking at this list of states that have the lowest percentages of vaccinated adults: Louisiana, Tennessee, Texas, Florida, Georgia. Among those, and there's also Indiana, Wyoming, Idaho, New York, and Utah. Among those, it seems like half of those are in the southern region of the country. I don't want to, besmirch anybody or kind of, cast aspersions, but is it interesting that most of the states that have the lowest percentage of vaccinated adults are in the southern portions of the country? Is there any?
That sounds interesting. Yeah, that's broadly correct. That also are the same states that oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes do not have clear access to a flu shot, because remember, you have to have some level of insurance. But even if you don't have insurance, you can walk into your health department and get it, and a lot of people don't know that. So cost becomes a barrier for some, especially for states that have not expanded Medicaid, as an example. We also know cultures vary. Some places, people do not have enough information to make good, informed decisions, and that's one of the reasons we want to make sure that physicians and clinicians are talking to their patients about making sure that they recommend the standard of care, the flu shot. It's very, very important. We also know that generally speaking, almost only about half of Americans who can take the flu shot across the nation each year take the flu shot. That's unfortunate. But we see a larger percentage of senior citizens do it, which is important and essential. However, it's important that this year around, we get more Americans to ensure that they're taking their flu shot, first of all, as a mechanism of preventing themselves against the flu, But then those people who do, and they maintain their social distancing and mask wearing and other aspects, they're going to be protecting not just themselves, but also their family members, their friends, and their community as a result of that. So it's something you do not just for yourself, but you do it for your community and your family, especially with holidays approaching.
That's right. I know I'm coming up on time here. Let's talk about the March of Dimes for a moment. The March of Dimes, where do they come into the flu, to this COVID and flu business here? Because, you know, we've always thought of them as, you know, birth defects, polio, things like that. Now they're getting in, now they are involved in the flu and the COVID too. Where does the March of Dimes come into all this?
Absolutely. So as you correctly pointed out, Kent, that our history really goes back to vaccination campaign and actually funding the development of the polio vaccine back in 1954, which actually led to the United States basically, everyone just eradicating polio, and we're at the verge of eradicating polio off the face of the earth, but a couple of dozen cases or so. We have since done a lot of work in infant health, making sure that children are fine. We're also working on mom's health to make sure that mom is fine as a result of making sure that children are fine. So it's very important to our mission that people generally, broadly speaking, get the vaccine, because we're seeing the lower rates of flu vaccine in pregnant women as well, almost 50%. We also are advocating for the COVID vaccine to ensure that the trials are including pregnant and lactating women. So we're encouraging more and more companies as well to ensure that pregnant women and those women who are of childbearing age are incorporated into the research to begin with. And then we're really encouraging all Americans to ensure that when you have this ability to address this pandemic, we need to have all hands on deck approach at this time. There really shouldn't be any public health organization that is not talking about, you know, all of the safety measures, social distancing, and the face cloth wearing, because we know what works. At the same time, we have over, 7 million Americans that are ill and over 215,000 Americans who have died. So we cannot afford to stand on the sidelines when so many Americans are dying every single minute.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Gupta, is there anything we have missed that we need to get out to people? Like, I know we'll get out a website here, but any information that we haven't talked about that we need to talk about?
Ken, I think you've covered most of it. Thank you. The MarshallDimes.org is the website that people can go to as well and find a lot of information, as well as the CDC website. And we really encourage people getting more informed information, get scientific information, informed information about where, why you can get the flu shot. One of the things that I just want to mention lastly, people think sometimes the flu shot can give you side effects. It's important to note that you can have some local, swelling, a little fever, but generally it's a myth when people say the flu shot can give you the flu. That's not true. Sometimes people already have the flu incubating that shows up. And other times they need to understand that it takes us about 2 weeks after the flu shot to develop enough antibodies to be able to protect us. So anything we may have gotten infected in between during those 2 weeks could come out and we can get sick as well. So that's why it's important. The timing is so important. This is the perfect time to go ahead and get your flu shot rather than to wait.
As a matter of fact, I have a doctor's appointment this week, and that's one of the things I'm going to do is get my shot. So we'll take care of that. MarchofDimes.org, correct?
Yes, thank you.
There we go. Dr. Rahul Gupta from where is that again, in Virginia?
You can say Arlington, Virginia.
There we go. Good deal. Dr. Gupta, I thank you for a few minutes out, and best to you this flu season. Hopefully it's not too busy for you.
Thank you so much, Ken. Thank you for doing this for us. We hope the same for you.
My pleasure. Take care, sir. Thanks.
You
bye-bye
too.
Now.
Bye-bye.